It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Good Thursday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight. Got a great show planned for you. We're getting you ready for the Commanders and the Cowboys. We will discuss Jaden Daniels' health after Cliff Kingsbury had some interesting things to say about the quarterback at the podium today. There is a list of Hall of Fame finalists in the NFL that we want to go over and a whole lot more on the docket. Danny, how's that Thursday working out for you?
We are doing just fine. And Danny, now you're normally I'm staring right into your eyes. Live in color, in person, right across the table. But that's not the case today. Where are you and what are you doing?
Not on this day.
Not up in here.
I am at Monumental Sports because I've got a Capitals altcast
tonight.
There it
is. He's the altcast guy.
For those of you that have not seen one of these, I want you to check it out tonight if you get a chance. You can watch it on TV linearly on Monumental 2. You can stream it on the app. I tweeted out a link. But it's pretty fun. It's a Manning-style hockey hang, basically. The Manning cast everyone knows from the NFL on Monday Night Football. It's myself, Tariq El-Bashir, former Caps goaltender Brent Johnson. We have guests along the way that Zoom and FaceTime in, and just a really, really good time. So we're watching the Caps. We'll be talking about the OV absence, some of the changes they're making in the lineup, and we'll stick it up on Puck and all kinds of other things. It's basically just kind of a, you know, a podcast radio show format where we're on couches watching the Capitals play. It's really, really fun. So I'm here today at the studios because I did not want to risk having to navigate D.C. right at about 6:30 to get on the air by 7.
Oh, I get that, dude. That is the right play. Because you don't know. I mean, you could probably do it, but that's not. We're not trying to challenge ourselves here. This isn't some sort of double dare physical challenge where you're finding the flag up a giant statue's nose. You should do the show from over there. Well,
that was actually, it's funny you say it that way. That's kind of the realization I came to as I thought, I'm going to go into the studio. I'll just leave right at 6:27 when we go to break in the final segment, and I'll just rip it across town, and I should be there by 6:50 at the latest sitting in the couch. And I'm like, why that angst?
Yeah,
why
you
that
should
stress?
Be, but like, who knows? Who knows if it's Motorcade Thursdays? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know.
That's such a D.C. thing, by the way.
Yeah.
You ever think about that?
Yes.
How driving in this area, we experience and see things that nobody else does, where every now and then you just get stopped because here come 39 SUVs and police cars because someone really, really, really important globally is driving right past.
Well, it's like every, you know, when I was living in New York or like would travel around the country for stand-up purposes, and, you know, you just are talking to human beings and you tell stories about yourself and life experiences and just normal things, right? Like, at one point, I can't remember the comic's name, but he was like, dude, are you making all this up? I was like, what? He goes, You live right next to the vice presidential mansion and motorcades and this person and this senator. And I'm like, yeah, you know, just where I was, it was different than growing up in Milwaukee or something. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's pretty unusual.
You can listen to the show all over the country, wherever you go on the Odyssey app. If you're listening to us on the flagship 106.7 The Fan, you got to go run errands or go into a store or something, take us with you. The Odyssey app is free. It's available wherever you are. But we appreciate everybody making the show making time for us today. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. We are in high definition and looking fresh, if I could say that. We've both got a little white on the chin of the beards, but otherwise, I think we're in a good place right now visually.
Yeah, both my kids right there. You could see the bags under my eyes, they give way right to the gray in the old beard. It was the first White Walker south of the wall happened right around when I was your age, quite frankly, and I would notice them. I'd pour over it and try to do something. And eventually it was like, you know what, the war's lost. I'm just going to have a gray spotty beard.
The whites start for everyone at the same, like me and you both, right? Yep. On the side of the chin. What is the science behind that?
I'm sure there is some. It's above this pudgy zilch's pay grade right here. So I don't know the answer to that, but it is commonplace, I'll tell you that. Like all my buddies with gray hair, that's where they started too.
It's right there.
It's right there.
Tomorrow, speaking of right there, we will be right there in Falls Church.
Right up in there.
We are going to be at the Casual Pint. Apparently, Our guy Chris Bresch was out there today making sure everything's ready to go for us a day in advance, our engineer. He sent us some pictures. They've got some photos hanging of the show. They're very excited to have us, and we are jacked up to get out there. What better way to get you ready for Commanders Cowboys than a field trip on a Friday? So we're going to be in Falls Church, first show back in Virginia the last 3 weeks. We are excited to do a live show out and about. So please make plans to swing by if you're in the area. Come grab lunch. Have a casual pint with your boys in Falls Church tomorrow. We're live from 2 to 6:30. And I've heard we got some pretty good prizes as well. Got some bobbleheads we'll be giving away. They're bringing some of our 106.7 The Fan Bluetooth speakers that are really, really cool as well. So it's going to be a good party tomorrow. I'm excited.
Place sounds awesome. I have not been. It is not too terribly far from the old Hooray household. So I've pinged a couple people to swing on by. But yeah, man, it's the idea that people want us to show up, that's a huge first step. And, you know, we've been having these sort of traveling road circus parties everywhere we've been. It's been awesome, dude. I can't wait for tomorrow.
All right, let's get to some of the news of the day with the Commanders. What does a guy have to do at this point, Danny, to get Marshawn Lattimore on the practice field? The 28-year-old corner not practicing again today. I've had a couple of people hit me up, and I'm sure you have as well. I'm at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny on social. And they've said, when do we start claiming that he is on the Curtis Samuel stationary bike? Now, we are not there yet. We are probably a long ways from the Curtis Samuel stationary bike. But this is now almost to frustrating territory. If he doesn't practice tomorrow and they rule him out ahead of Sunday's game after the start of the week where Quinn basically made it seem like he was hopefully be practicing at the end of the week and that they were thinking he might be able to play this weekend, now we're starting to get into annoying territory. Still a massive win of a trade as far as I'm concerned because he's going to be here theoretically next year and the year after. You've added a corner one. You don't have to sign a guy in free agency. If you sign someone this offseason of his caliber, you would have spent more AAV than his current salary that you're bringing him in at against your cap. So even if he doesn't play this year, I still would have made the trade. I'm not suggesting that they made a mistake. What I am saying, though, is we all thought he was going to play pretty quickly after getting here, and this is continuing to linger now, and this hamstring is probably getting better behind the scenes. But as far as what we can see, the only judging we can do is, are you practicing or not? And he is not still able to go out there and put pads and a jersey on and run around.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not saying that Peters and company got sold a bill of goods or anything like that. But I'm frustrated. So I understood if you actually had a hamstring, not a Davante Adams hamstring, right? That gets cured by a plane flight in time zones. You actually had a hamstring issue. I understand the quick turnaround of not playing on a Sunday and then, you know, 96 hours later on a Thursday. I totally get that. Totally. It makes sense. But I think everybody thought, or a lot of us thought, okay, now you got that 10 days, basically Friday, Saturday, Sunday, all the way through. Let's work up and now let's get in that lineup. And he's still not playing. It's frustrating. So I'm frustrated. That's the end of it. I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at the team. There's no one I'm angry at. I am frustrated by the situation. I think there's a distinction there where a lot of times people say, what are you supposed to do? Or what's the team supposed to do? What they're doing, but I'm still frustrated. I would like to see the football player play football. I was very excited at the trade deadline. That excitement has dissipated because I sort of forgot that he was here because I haven't seen him. You know what I mean? That's all this is.
Well, let's call it what it is, too. They traded for him because they need his help. They traded for him because they're looking at corner room like you and I are, and they're going, man, tell you what, we could really use a good cornerback. And so you've got this reinforcement, right? He's coming in to help you. Think of it as they're in a fight, and they're trying to win the fight. And they're like, if we just had one more, you know what, let's go get Marshawn. He'll help us win the fight. And meanwhile, they're struggling to win football games these last couple of times out. And who knows what would have been different if he was on the field. Could you have made one more play? Would he have changed the game with a tip that led to a pick? Or could he have intercepted a pass? Who knows? But today he was working on the side field with Commanders strength coaches again. I think there's still a chance he could play Sunday. I'm basing that solely on what Dan Quinn said at the start of the week, though. If you subscribe to my normal theory, which is what coaches say doesn't matter, just follow the actions. Well, the actions right now are that he's still not practicing. And if you're not practicing on a Thursday, I don't know, a 60-plus percent clip normally, it's not a good sign that you're going to play come Sunday. But I also feel like this is one of those games where, man, would it be good to have him. Because CeeDee Lamb's a beast. The Cowboys don't have many guys on their roster, frankly, on either side of the ball, but certainly on offense, that I worry about. That is a dreadful offensive operation right now. With Dak Prescott hurt, they've got a backup caliber starting quarterback. They don't have a good running back. They have one wide receiver of note, and that's CeeDee Lamb, who is right now on his way to another 100 catches and probably, you know, 1,300 yards. Last year he led the league with 135 grabs and 1,750 yards when Prescott was healthy all season. He's only 25, by the way. That guy, three Pro Bowls, an All-Pro. I mean, he's on his way to the Gold Jacket Hall of Fame career that they were dreaming about when they drafted him in the first round. But if you can stop CeeDee Lamb, there's not much else that you worry about with Dallas, and that's where if you had a shutdown, legitimate, viable corner one in a game like this, I think this is actually why you go get Lattimore, because you say, you worry about CeeDee Lamb, and these other 10 guys will worry about everything else. And if you don't have him, then you probably can't ask just St. Juice or just Sanra still, as good as he was against Philly, to handle CeeDee Lamb. It's a committee that you now throw at that problem, which means fewer bodies in a numbers game to stop everybody else.
Precisely. And that's really to be what Lattimore was going to unlock, if and when he's available to play, and assuming he's able to sustain health. It was, okay, that takes one piece off the board. Like, I don't know how many avid chess players are listening. I don't know how much you've played GP in your life, but there are different strategies and different ways to beat your opponent. The best player for each team is the queen, can move anywhere at any time. Some people like, let me just take their most dangerous piece off the board regardless of what I have to do in order to try to win the game. Maybe it's a sacrifice my queen as long as I get theirs, and then I'll take my chances elsewhere. That, to me, is how this defense should be. In other words, their most dangerous guy, if I have to use my best asset to try to remove him from the equation, that's what I'm going to do. So it unlocks the ability, as you said, to play more heavy boxes, let Jeremy Chinn creep down, or Quan Martin at times, or roll coverages a certain way. Just opens up your toy chest. If you're Joe Witten company, instead of saying, we cannot leave our corners on an island. We cannot at any time. We can't do that heavy blitz. We can't go cover zero that time. Or we can't do this unexpected zone dog or this, that, and the other thing, because we are terrified that they pick it up and now someone's one-on-one with CeeDee Lamb. Sorry. I can't do that. So we're going to give up yards, and we're going to give up points. We're going to give up big passing totals. Number one receivers are going to have a way with us. Or number one running backs are. Just depends on what we're trying to take away on that given player, that given series. He's going to open up options, in theory, when he comes back. It's just now, now I'm like hopeful for next week, but I'm not optimistic.
I mentioned this yesterday. So they traded for him November 5th, 5 days before the Steelers game, mm-hmm. 9 days before the Eagles game. And at that time, what I said was, okay, if he's not 100% with the hamstring, and it's not the Davante Adams fake hamstring, I went out of here situation, which we were also led to believe by some of the Saints reporters that maybe there was something to that, that maybe he wasn't as banged up as he was leading on because he was at odds with the team. Maybe he would just feel better when he got here, right? That obviously was not the case, and Lattimore is dealing with a pretty intense injury that he's been trying to come back from. But when they traded for him on November 5th, which was 16 days ago now, right away my point was, if he can't go against Pittsburgh, whatever. And it turned out that George Pickens had a pretty good game against them. But my point then, and I still feel like, was they don't have a bevy of receivers they're throwing at you. There's basically one decent guy at the position. You can find a way to beat them with or without him. And they led the game by 10 points in the second half before squandering it. All along, though, I was hopeful, fingers crossed, your game of the year, the Goody in Philly, the one you really need in the division with those two really good wideouts, that's the one you circle. I just wish, and I know why they're so private, and I think by and large, normally, it's a good thing, not a bad thing, but I just wish they were a little more transparent on some things like this, where you just, there wouldn't be any frustration if they came out and said, hey, he's probably not going to be available for a couple of weeks. We're hoping sometime in the next couple of weeks, maybe leading into that Dallas game, we can get him on the practice field and start having him work out. And then at least you just set a expectation that is realistic, rather than every fan who listens to this show and reads everything from every reporter who just goes to practice every day and we're doing the, nope, no Marshawn Lattimore, maybe tomorrow. Well, 3 weeks ago, there was no maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
We didn't know that. The team knew that.
Yeah.
But if they just come out and say that, then you're not every day going to social media and looking at the coverage to say, Was Lattimore practicing? Because he should be playing this week. And they could easily, I don't think they would have hurt themselves at all in terms of getting ready for Pittsburgh or Philly or the Steelers or Eagles, you know, operating differently because they're thinking Lattimore is going to play. They could have just said, hey, he's probably not going to be ready for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so a couple things on that. Number one, the if you don't know truly, if it is day-to-day and you're finding out shortly before we do, you know, your hands are kind of tied there. But to me, if it's significant enough where it's not even on the table that he would play that first week, right, and that's two games in 1 week, two games in 4 days, then, you know, leading up to next week, there's got to be some information that you would have post any kind of medical examination, right? Because remember, the trade was pending physicals. I mean, they worked him out. They gave him a physical. Not worked him out, but you know what I mean? They gave him a physical to figure out the extent of this thing still went ahead with the trade, which is fine. That, to me, was one of the hallmarks of the previous regime. I don't mean Dan Snyder. I'm talking about Ron Rivera and company, where they looked bumbling. Even if they weren't, they looked that way. When during the time that Ron Rivera is on the air with you and I, and Curtis Samuel isn't practicing and has been bothered by this thing for months and goes on IR, and I'm like, hey, what's going on, Curtis Samuel? He's fine day-to-day, really is. You just put him on IR! I don't know if you did or one of your buddies named Marty did, but you tell me he's fine, he's day-to-day, now he's on IR. What the bleep is going on? He didn't practice in March or April or OTAs in May or couldn't do this walkthrough, couldn't do this mini camp, and now we're here in training camp. Oh, he's day-to-day, really is, okay.
Hey, he could be back any day, and then we're like, actually, coach, it looks like just across the wire now, he's on the PUP list. He's out for at least 4 weeks.
Yeah, PUP. I misspoke. I said IR. Yeah, he was on PUP. And so you look bumbling. You look like you're inept. You look like you don't know. Your left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Hell, the left index finger doesn't know what the middle finger's doing. You guys are clueless. And whether or not that was the case, that's the perception. That's not the case with this group. I'm not saying it is, but there's a lower trust factor that comes with that. Now, what are the repercussions of that? I don't know. Maybe some grousing from you and me and some fans. So, you know, you can play it out that way. But to me, this is one of those, I'm 100% with you, where you go, here's what we know at this point. We don't expect him. He's working his way back. We will give you an update when we have one. There's 24 hours or less of grousing, of irritation at that. Then you move on to the next thing. This way, it's a story until he's healthy. It's a story until he's out there. It's now, we're in week two of a story. And that I think that's avoidable. So it's something that I haven't quite figured out as to why NFL teams, and this one specifically, regardless of regime, has done.
And maybe they just don't care that much.
Entirely
They're
possible.
Going, whatever's being said outside of the building doesn't matter. Most teams say that they don't actually live that way. We don't know this group well enough yet, but maybe they really, truly don't. And that's fine, too. If that's the case. But I just think you can help yourself. I'm from the school of, you know, you get everyone on the same page in terms of fans, media, understanding what you're doing. That transparency is a good thing and not a bad thing. Now, having said that, there is a game to talk about on Sunday, whether Lattimore plays or not. And the Cowboys, they are wounded. They are an animal that's been bitten and is bleeding out as it kind of army crawls along a field. And the Commanders are a bunch of lions ready to pounce, it feels like. What is on the line for you on Sunday as far as how you feel about this team? Does your take on where they're at as an operation change massively based on how Sunday plays out? We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on that next at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny.
Coach, you had mentioned that facing a former team doesn't mean as much to you as you go along in your coaching career, but do you have a sense of what this game means to some of your players who have played in Dallas or started their careers there, and what has your message to them been as you prepare for the game?
I haven't talked to them much different about that. You probably know from now I don't make one, you know, too often bigger than another. I just think they're all really important, and we absolutely go after it as hard as we can. So for the players, you have to reach out to them, their teammates and their connection. And as they get further along in their career, they'll recognize that too. But for me and for the guys, man, it's like Washington, Dallas week. Let's get down.
Let's get down. Dan Quinn, man. Let's get down to business. His general like diction is funny to me. How he talks is great.
It's like the granddad that was a hippie. You know what I mean? That you get over there and he's like, "I used to roll with the Grateful Dead, man. Whatever you guys want to do, I'm down.
Let's get after this thing, man."
That's how I'm going to talk to my group of 6-year-olds for our indoor soccer game on Sunday. Tell the Arlington Tornadoes, "Hey guys, let's get down.
You guys better win, or it's going to be a rough to tell the truth Monday for that group."
We don't want that. I don't want to face the media after that.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back. The question for you guys is just how much will your opinion of this team change based on how they play on Sunday? I hate making too much out of a game, and I don't do the must-win thing, really, until the end of the year. I think must-wins are generally reserved for either mathematical elimination situations or close to it for me. So it's not that kind of scenario because there's a lot of football ahead, and frankly, their schedule's weak enough that even if they let up somehow in a game that there's no reason why they shouldn't win handily, they're going to be able to harvest some nuts down the road and probably still get where they need to go. But I'd be lying to you, Danny, if I didn't say that my confidence of just how much progress they've made in a short time would waver some if they were to lose to Dallas, this bad Cowboys team. And it'll be chalked up in some circles as, hey, it's a rivalry game in the division. You throw out the records. Doesn't matter who's good and who's bad. I'm sorry, I can't really do that. I have too much information. You have been resting since Thursday of last week. Dallas played on Monday Night Football. It's a 10-versus-6, basically, day prep period, right? On top of that, they don't have their quarterback. They have a bad backup. They don't have any running game. They have one wide receiver who can beat you or make you look bad on his best day. It's just not a good football team. Their defense has looked mostly checked out recently. Their coordinator is embattled and may or may not even have a job next year, even if they keep their head coach, who's almost certainly going to be fired. And I know that in the NFL, weird things happen. I get that. But weird things shouldn't happen as often to really good teams, right? Weird things don't happen that often to the Chiefs. Weird things don't happen that frequently to the Philadelphia Eagles, who we just saw and Washington just played. Like, if weird things happen to you, then you are not who we kind of thought you were earlier in the year, which is not a crime, by the way. Year one of Quinn, year one of Daniels. But this would be a step back and really have a tough conversation with myself on how much better they are than they were the last few years if you can't beat the Cowboys, and now you'd be 7-5, and by the way, a Hail Mary touchdown away from 6-6.
So I have a much looser definition of must-have or must-win type games. I understand your point, and like technically you are correct. The only time you must win a game is when you're facing elimination. You know what I mean? Like if that's how you go about it, I got no issue with that. To me, when I go, you got to have this one. That's a synonym for must-win. You need to win this one. Like, This is the freebie. This is the team that's won 12 games each of the last three seasons now stinks. You got to win it. It's an NFC game. You got to win it. It's a divisional game. You got to win it. If you want to go anywhere this year, you got to win it. If you can't beat this Dallas team at home, what are we even talking about? There's not much point to the rest of it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, then if we can eke out go to New Orleans and we have to have different conversations. We have to lower the bar and have similar ones. And to your point, it's still a win. There's still been a step forward, but it's nowhere near the leap that we thought. If you're not able to beat this Dallas team at home. Now, something fluky happens, God forbid, injury, or you know, all of a sudden there's a monsoon.
Sure.
And you play, you know, qualifications notwithstanding. But just given these two teams lining up and playing, there's a reason you're 10.5-point favorites. They're not competitive, even with CeeDee Lamb, even with Micah Parsons back. This is a bad football team that's looking for a reason to quit, limping in here, having been drubbed every time they've taken the field over the last few weeks or so. You are better than they are. And anybody objectively would say Washington is a better team right now than Dallas. So, you know, if there aren't style points, you eke one out like you did against the Giants, we can have a great conversation, and we will. There's nuance to all this thing. But what should happen is you beat the brakes off this team. That's what should happen.
I would even say that I don't even feel this way about the Titans game, just to show why this Cowboys game is so different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Titans don't have a good quarterback situation, they're not down to a guy that they don't want to be playing, right? They're not incapable when it comes to running the football. frankly, they have better weapons offensively, and I don't even know that it's particularly close, than the Dallas Cowboys do in the passing game. They're also playing okay defensively. They're a top 5 yards per play unit. So while that's a really bad team, and the narrative next week, I think, around town should be that Washington absolutely should beat them, they will be pretty heavy favorites, I would think. I guarantee you they will not be 10.5-point favorites. Like, the reason for that line is that you are getting the Cowboys on the single best week to play Dallas in the last probably 5 years of that organization or something like that. Certainly of the McCarthy era, right? They are on short rest. They are dealing with a ton of injuries. They don't have a quarterback. And Washington is pretty good. That's how you get to a line that is crazy lopsided. I mean, what percent of the time does a double-digit point favorite lose anyway? I would bet in the NFL it's pretty rare. I would bet it's in, you know, 10 or so percent or something like that. Like, it is a game that absolutely you should, you need to win. And if you don't, it's not a big deal. But the benefit of the doubt I give you when you lose to the Steelers by 1 point at home off of their bye because they had extra time to prepare, or, you know, maybe they're just, you know, not a great matchup for you when you're down a couple of tackles and T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are coming off the edge, goes away some. You know, the benefit of the doubt on the Eagles, it's a short week. You know, I'm making excuses for you. You're going to Philadelphia. It's a Thursday. And I don't think they're excuses. I think they're actual explanations, for the record. I think it's stuff that really does matter that maybe a lot of people don't care about. But the fact is, you're playing good football teams. Football's going to happen. Now you're playing a really bad team. By the way, this group, early in the year when they played a team like this, whooped up on them,
Danny. That's right.
They just absolutely throttled Carolina, Cleveland at home. So if you don't do that to Dallas, it is a direct indication, it is evidence that you are not what you were then. And we got to figure out why that is, because that's a realization that they've come back to the pack pretty severely.
Yeah, I always say this, and I'm sure people are probably tired of it by now, but each new sample, if it's an outlier from what we previously thought, forces you to reevaluate what you've already seen. In other words, when they struggled against Tampa, it didn't look very good. Didn't score many points against the Giants. They scored 21, got to the red zone a bunch, but like they didn't really score. You're going, okay, I think we have an idea of who they are. And then Cincinnati happened. And we went back and went, wait a minute. This offense actually was really good against the Giants. They just struggled in the red zone. They actually didn't punt. This is incredible. We know the offense is good. Arizona happens. Yep, see, it's good. Then the Cleveland Browns game happens. Oh, my God, this is awesome. Now, if you have a bad sample against Dallas, you go, well, wait a minute. Over the last month plus, 5 games since they dropped Carolina, the offense hadn't been the same. They've been, as you said, they're a Hail Mary away from being .500, basically. Uh-oh, maybe we had some early season success that's now given away to something else. It forces you to reexamine.
For the record, I think they're going to roll. I think they'll win handily. It's not like I'm predicting that they're going to struggle in this game. It's hard for me to envision how that would happen unless they turn the ball over a bunch. By the way, they haven't done that all year. They're the lowest turnover team in the National Football League at this point. Let's go to Tony in Long Island on Grant and Danny. Tony, you're on the Fan. What's up, brother?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
Well, let me tell you how much this game means to me. For the first time in 24 years, I will be attending the game with my family.
Let's go.
I'll have my wife and my two boys will be in section 102 right behind the bench. And I'm really fired up. I refuse to give Snyder money. The last game I attended was the home opener of 2000 versus the Carolina Panthers. And
wow.
It never got better from there. Yeah, and I haven't come back, and this is going to become regular. So I'm really looking forward to this. Bottom line is this, guys. How is it going to feel on Monday if we lose this game? What is the NFL going to think of us, the media, everyone, if we lose this game? You know, there's no you lose this game and you're a farce and you're not going to be taken serious. I don't care what we do in the Titans. I don't care. We're not going to be taken seriously for the rest of the year. We have to win this game and we have to blow them out and feel good about ourselves. This is a get healthy game and we need it. And I'm fired up. I can't wait.
Love it, dude. Appreciate it, man. I love stuff like that, where it's first time since X year or taking the trip down from Long Island, like our guy Tony's doing. I think stuff like that's cool. And this is on paper as good a game as you're going to get to see, right? I mean, those stupid Cowboy fans that infest everywhere are in theory, going to have to walk around with their tail between their legs a little bit. That's fun.
Last time Tony went to a game at home. Bruce Smith had a sack and a half for Washington.
Times were the same then or different?
Larry Centers caught 7 balls for 56 yards for the Redskins a couple of names ago. Kenny's in Virginia on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kenny? How are you?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for my call.
Hey, buddy.
I think Washington should be able to run up the points and not be a contender or a close game. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to be a serious playoff contender.
So for you, you think a poor performance against Dallas makes it hard for you to feel like they're a legit playoff team?
Correct.
I appreciate
you, dude. I suppose you're cooking there. Like, I listen, divisional stuff is weird. There is a caveat to that. They're so much better than the Giants, and yet one score games in both of them. You know, Malik Nabers drops a pass. Otherwise, maybe they don't win that first game. But there's, because of where Dallas is trending, GP, I hate to say this, but style points might matter a little bit here, right? Where you go, they might make the playoffs because they got off to such a good start, but they're going to back in. Although, you know, if they win 9 or 10 games, it's like, and no one else catches them, they're not playing that great right now. Whereas if they go in beating up on these bad teams like they were, it just eye test wise makes you feel better.
G&D on the Fan. If you want to hop in and let us know at 800-636-1067, what's at stake as far as your opinion and your assessment of this team with their upcoming game with the Cowboys? We want to hear from you on the Fan. Next, I also want to look at the coaching firing market, the guys with the hottest seats. Of the most likely coaches to lose their job in the weeks ahead, who has the best chance to salvage their gig and still be around at this time next year? That's next on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. Danny, odds are out there offshore on the next head coach in the NFL to be fired. I want to go through these names and see if you think any of these guys will survive the end of the season. And I don't mean fired in season as much as like Black Monday, right after the year when everyone gets blown out. Will any of these guys still be coaching next year? There are four names here that are expected to be fired. And those names are Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears, who is the favorite to be the next guy canned, Doug Peterson of the Jaguars, Brian Daboll of the Giants, and Mike McCarthy of the Cowboys. Now, it should be noted that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll did both, the GM and the head coach, get endorsed by the owner that they would be back next year. So maybe we could even separate him into a different category. But Eberflus, Peterson, McCarthy, Chicago, Jacksonville, Dallas, of those three guys who look like they are speeding toward losing their job at the end of the year, who's most likely to be back?
Ooh, who's most likely to return? I just think that, let me go through it super quick. I think that Peterson situation, because it's Jacksonville, so no one really notices, with all due respect to your one friend, Joey, who actually likes the Jaguars. He's like the one person alive that's into it, that doesn't live in London or something. It's toxic down there. Like it's an adversarial, snippy, kind of a hot mess, right? More so than just the team that's losing and whatever. Like he's sniping at people in the media, and the whole thing is bad. It just feels really, really bad. It feels really toxic. Like Trevor Lawrence's growth has been stunted. A team that's pretty talented is really bad. So that he seems to be no question that he's gone. This McCarthy thing. You know, Jones has been actually ridiculously patient over the years with his coaches. I know he has a reputation as a guy that just fires people for looking at him funny, but he keeps people employed that say, yes, Mr. Jones, right, for a long time. I mean, he had the clapper, Jason Garrett, just sitting there on a sideline for basically a decade. So maybe he's the answer? I just feel like that Eberflus-Peterson group is just the instant it's convenient are into the sun. That's my thought. If there's one of the three, maybe it's McCarthy. I think they're all gone, though.
I think that's probably fair. I think all three get fired, and my guess is Eberflus in the next month, certainly in season, because I don't think it's going to turn around to the extent that it will need to for Chicago, although the Bears almost never blowout coaches during the year. You want to talk about an organization that doesn't have much of a history of that. They had an offensive coordinator firing in the Shane Waldron dismissal a week ago, and that was the first time in their history that that had happened, you know, in decades and decades in the modern era. The other of the teams that I think is a certainty to fire their coach is Jacksonville with Doug Peterson, and I only say that because of the reporting that's being done. We've already had all of the main reporters that cover the NFL at the power networks come out and say, sooner rather than later, Shad Khan's going to make the move. I view that as the trial balloon, where, you know, somebody with the team, whether it's ownership or whoever, kind of floats that, and they see what the reaction is with the fan base, with the media, and it's only a matter of time. By the way, since that report came out, they got completely eviscerated this past weekend. They gave up 900 points to the Lions. So that's something. And the last one would be Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's gone as well, but if one of them kept their job, I guess it would be him, because he actually does have success before this year. They haven't won in the playoffs, but you can't say he's done a bad job when he's, you know, everyone said, oh, all that guy ever does is win because of Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers didn't come, and all he's done is win 12 games pretty consistently in Dallas. Now, he's got his own limitations. He's got his own areas where maybe you'd like to do better than him, but it's kind of like the quarterback conversation we have sometimes where he's pretty good. You could try to do better, but you're not necessarily going to. Bill Belichick is going to be a name that comes up. Mike Vrabel is going to be a name that comes up. I just think Jerry Jones loves his stars. He wants to be linked to those guys, and eventually he'll make the move. Let's go to the phones, though. Tron's in Maryland on Grant and Danny. Wants to talk about Commanders-Cowboys on Sunday. Tron, what do you make of the discussion we were having last segment on just how much this game's going to shift how people feel about this team?
Well, my opinion is, how's it going, by the way, guys? I've listened to you guys for a long time.
Thanks, bud.
My opinion is it would change, right? However, it would just change as the playoffs are the concern. I already felt that, you know, since we haven't really defeated a good team yet, you know, that we're not as good to advance to the playoffs. But nonetheless, even if we lose, I'll be upset because of who Dallas is and how bad they are and all that jazz. We still got a great outlook to the future, but as far as this season, it'll change if we lose for sure for this season.
Thanks, Tron. I appreciate you, and I loved your legacy, by the way. Dan in Connecticut, you're on G&D. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man.
First time caller.
So he's got
just wanted to see if that results in anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to.
Hit that! Hit that! Hit that!
You see, GT knew what he was about because he built the pause was built in. He's like, so I'm the first time caller. Even said ... basically, you know, just letting Jim walk through that hole.
He might as well have said, "Does Jim Zorn have anything to say about that?"
If the button's not working, I would have taken a Danny impression of Josh Harris welcoming me onto the show, but that's okay. You guys found the button. So, I'm going to use a quote from my cousin Vinny, which is, there's nothing to worry about until there's something to worry about.
What part of the movie is that, by the way? When does he say that?
That's at the beginning when they're in jail, when they first land into jail and they don't realize they think they're fine, that it's a misunderstanding.
It's before he admits, I shot the clerk in the interview. I got you. That's a great bit. Yeah. Good pull. Appreciate you, dude. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, I totally understand. And there are different ways of thinking of something. There are people that are really good at this in life. There's people like me. I'm not good at this. I worry about things just in general. Like, I'm like, this. I want to be prepared for this eventuality. I want to be prepared for X. I want to know that we are taken care of if the worst case scenario happens or whatever that is, right? Other people are like, well, let's prepare practically. Let's do the thing that is most likely and we'll deal with whatever comes when it comes. There's no sense worrying about it. Just people wire differently. When I see weaknesses, when I see chinks in the armor, when I see certain statistical trends, I'm kind of going, I'm alerting everyone to this. This is the trend line. It could be reversed this weekend against a bad opponent, and we can all celebrate and drink hot cocoa. It could also be a sign of something else. So I totally understand that philosophy is my point.
And I don't even have a trend developing that I'm worried about yet, because I think if they were playing a good team, there'd be a trend that maybe they're not good enough to beat that team.
Mm-hmm.
But the trend for
Which
this weekend
is, fair, yeah.
is at home against terrible teams, they blow them out. And so that's the trend I'm kind of choosing to focus on now. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time in the back half of the show, actually, talking about this saga in high school football in Virginia. We discussed Hayfield High School, this team that was banned from the playoffs for allegedly recruiting players, only to be readmitted to the playoffs on the day that they were supposed to start. Well, there's been a couple of huge developments in that story, actually, since we talked about this last night. We'll tell you about those next on Grant and Danny.